I realize that I'm the last presentation for the day that's keeping you from either going to the ending session or going to your method of transportation to get safely home. So I'm glad that you're here and you're going to be taking away maybe some replication strategies of a disaster simulation that we do on our campus. Mary Brinker is my co-author. She was our simulation specialist at DeSales University till last year. She actually moved on, and I miss her terribly, but she's the person who got this project off the ground years ago, and we are continuing to grow the project with her initial, you know, pioneering efforts. That's our school nursing building called the Gambit Center. It just opened last year. Okay, I have no disclosures. Okay, these are the learning outcomes that I submitted with the abstract. Describe the rationale for interdisciplinary disaster simulation in nursing curricula. Discuss implementation strategies for an interdisciplinary disaster sim. And identify community partners for replication of a disaster simulation. An overview of DeSales, it's a four-year private Catholic university. It's administered by the Oblates of St. Francis DeSales, and it's located in the Lehigh Valley near the Pocono Mountains, Pennsylvania. It currently enrolls about 1,600 undergraduates, 65% majority of live on campus. The nursing major annually graduates approximately 80 students. We have three different programs. Our traditional students are the ones that, you know, that come out of high school and go into nursing as a major, about 30 of them every year. Then the accelerated is the second degree program for anyone who has a bachelor's in another field. And we 35 to 40 of those students every year, and 15 evening weekend access students who take about anywhere from 3 to 5 years to finish the program on their own pace. For disaster simulation, there's a lot in the literature about collaboration with interdisciplinary teams and also for disaster simulation. So I just have a very small snippet here where the IOM reported the importance of communication and collaboration in interdisciplinary teams, identified as a competency central to the education of health professions, and that was back in 2003. And then undergraduate public health nursing faculty at our college addressed this challenge via an annual interdisciplinary disaster simulation that we conduct every fall. And initially, when our local EMS squad and police squad on campus contacted Mary Brinker to do a simulation, they wanted it to be something for themselves, you know, as disaster prep, as emergency, you know, response type of a scenario, and incorporating our student nurses. And it really has blossomed over time. Currently, the recommended baccalaureate competencies and curricular guidelines for public health nursing that came out last September is a supplement to the essentials of baccalaureate education. And in essential number 6, interprofessional communication and collaboration for improving patient health outcome, we really feel that that is really what is the backbone, and theoretically, of our disaster simulation. And we also incorporate cues and competencies. Over several years, our small disaster simulation has evolved into an interdisciplinary simulation with additional university, undergraduate programs, campus police, campus EMS, and community EMS. Another local nursing program also participated for 2 years in a row, but now they do their own. They took the lesson learned and they have exploded it on their own campus. We do a lot of pre-event preparation for our students. This is a senior level nursing course. It's in the fall term. It's called Community and Public Health Nursing. This event counts towards their clinical hours, and there is some didactic content prior to the simulation. They have assigned course readings to do via their textbook. We bring in a guest speaker from a local EMS squad to provide an overview of triage and the tagging system, basic first aid, backboarding, things like that. But then the students are also required to complete the FEMA 100 course. It's a NIMS basic course. Evidently, NIMS goes up to, I think, like an 800 level. But there's many levels that you can do modules for as you work in emergency response. So we just have them do the basic FEMA 100. And I provided the website here. On the day of the event, the students are assigned to either victim or triage roles. And actually, they're assigned this, like, at the class meeting that I have, the final class before the event, because they need to know when to show up, because the victims have to show up about an hour earlier because they're moulaged with theatrical makeup. And the triage responders report about 8:30, and then we kick off the event anywhere between 9 and 9:30, depending when all the other players from the community are in place. Our faculty has gotten very expert over time at applying the makeup. I do have to admit that we do have help from our theater department on campus. My daughter was a theater major who's now a graduate, but she helped us along the way, and current theater students also usually do. Then we stage our victims in various locations, depending on the nature of the event. The simulation will kick off with any appropriate means. It might just be an announcement that somebody runs into an auditorium where the students who are the responders are supposed to be students in a classroom setting and comes in and says, "Oh my God, there was an explosion in the cafeteria, we need help," you know. Or it could be pulling of a fire alarm, which is what we did this year because it was a chemical explosion in a chemistry lab. So the victims then act out their assigned roles. What we do is we make up tags that are similar to these tags that we wear here at APHA, you know, and they have like vital signs on the front of them for the emergency responders to see, but on the back they give cues for the victims to act out. So you're moaning, you're crying out, you're acting like you're panicked, you can't speak at all, you know, you're comatose, whatever. So victims are rapidly assessed and assigned a triage tag and then transported when appropriate. And then after the simulation ends, which takes anywhere from about an hour to an hour and 20 minutes, we do have the immediate debriefing post-event. Our participants complete an evaluation survey. And then we have the oral debriefing, because we don't want to have the oral debriefing first and have anybody be influenced by what people are saying in the oral debriefing to influence what they'll write down on their evaluation instrument. So we hand out the hard tool first. And we use the quantitative and qualitative feedback from the students to plan our next simulation. Additionally, the students don't just get the debriefing evaluation forms. The emergency responders from our campus and also from the community, they complete them also. And then we take their feedback to see how we can improve it next year. And then our planning meetings start like right away. Like about a month later, we have our first planning meeting where we go over the debriefing from this year and we start planning for next year. This might be a little small. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, good. I can see it well. I don't think I have a pointer here, but this just shows you, and I can talk out loud, how we've evolved over time. Like when we first started with the University of Police EMS, we had about 28 to 35 nursing majors, 4 faculty, and we did it 2 years in a row where we had a tornado disaster on campus. And then in 2010, this is where the other nursing school came into play, 22 students, so 53 total, but 22 who were from another college. And then we had one theater major participating. The faculty was 8 nursing, 4 from us, DeSales University, and 4 from the other college. But in terms of the other participants, in addition to our University Police and EMS, we had 4 community EMS squads that came out. 2011, we also did a tornado drill. Again, you can see the number of our participants. In 2012, we changed it up a bit. We said it was Parents Weekend and that there was a gas explosion at like one of the barbecue grills that was in use for food. So we had 7 nursing faculty, but then the PA faculty said, "Hey, we heard you're doing this simulation. I want to know what it's all about. I want to be involved." So the faculty came, no students yet. And we had 43 nursing majors, 1 theater major. Again, the reason we dropped down in our numbers was we don't have the other college participating anymore. In addition to the police and the EMS squads, the local hospital brought their mobile hospital unit that they set up like a tent to transport victims to. Last year, we did the active shooter on campus because of all the tragedies with school shootings that are going on. So we wanted to change that up a bit. There was no actual, we announced that the event occurred and there were victims in the auditorium. There was no actual, you know, guns drawn by anybody to act it out, because I was very concerned, like, what if accidentally there was a discharge and we thought there were blanks in the guns and there weren't, you know. But again, this is where the PA majors started to become involved. Now, ours is required because it's built into the course as part of their clinical experience, but PA just has it as an optional experience for their students. So even though there's 60 PA majors enrolled, we only had 10 last year. This year it was even less. It was 6 PA. So the conversations I've had with the PA faculty is they're going to incorporate it as some type of mandatory event because they see the value of it moving forward. In addition to the mobile hospital unit this year, we also had the decontamination unit that came out from our local hospital with this chemistry lab explosion. That was really very exciting because one of the people who works at our facility and then two of our male nursing students volunteered to go through the decontamination process with getting hosed down. But then all of our students, they turned off the overhead water, and all of our students and faculty actually walked through the unit. It looked like a big mobile van, the size of a minibus. But we actually then were shown, you know, how you'd have to stand, how you have to turn around, how you have to lift up your foot, and they do the bottom of the sole of your foot. And then after that's done, you have to step into the clean space, and then they do your other foot. So it was very interesting. The feedback from the students, you know, they really got a lot out of that decontamination process. So in our communication department, we have a lot of support from our media relations people. So he contacts all our local newspapers and television stations. So every year we get a lot of print locally, but we even get the local TV station comes out and does a video. I have this here from last year, from the active shooter event. It did work when I tried it, but now that I'm worried that we're in this room, it might not work. So I'm going to come back to that. And the lessons learned, planning takes an entire year, as I said. You really have to have good support from either your dean or your department chair. Monthly meetings with all the representatives of the involved community agencies is essential. Once the simulation occurs, using constructive feedback to future plan out additional sims, and finding the financial resources to provide lunch the day of the event for the participants post-debriefing is really important because they're there all day, you know, that they're showing up at 7:30 and we're not done till about 1 o'clock, so you really need to feed them lunch. Our challenges are mainly trying to get these monthly meetings on the calendar. So we learned along the way we need to just set them all in September and to plan around for the whole year, not to go month to month and say, when can you meet next? So we have them on our calendar well in advance. Assigning the victims and the triage roles, because every year too many students want to be victims or too many students want to be responders, and we need to do it as a 50-50 split. Weather-related issues, luckily we've had some cold days because all these events are outside, but we haven't had any weather-related cancellations, so that was good. And then tabulating and reporting on the survey results post-debriefing, I mean, that we're still in the process of doing that. Our event was October 26th, and I still don't have all the forms tabulated. But if you want to replicate this, I think you have to begin your dialogue within your nursing department or your school and get buy-in from committed faculty members. Outreach to other departments or majors, you know, if you have PA, if you have med schools, a PT, pharmacy, social work, whatever. I think you really should start on a small scale like we did. Just involve your own local EMS squad on campus and maybe one other squad if you want to reach out to the community. And then every year you could build it up and do a little bit more. Place the event on your course syllabus as a requirement. Provide the didactic content prior to the event and elicit support from the local fire EMS because they have of your own police, fire, EMS, because they are the ones who have the relationships. I've never had to contact the community agencies. They do that all because they know who are the administrators. They know the key players. They know the county agency, that type of thing. So if I could just try this to see if we can get it. If not, I'll give you the I'll tell you how you can just Google search it itself. Does that say you can't? Okay. So what it is it's called Channel 69 News. So if you just Google search Channel 69 News, Pennsylvania, and then up in their search bar, just put the name of our university, DeSales. You'll get several hits for DeSales, but wherever you see a video, hit, that's one of our, well, sometimes they put another Venn one on a video, but if you scroll down and you just keep looking at the video ones, you don't have to go very far. You'll get to see the mass casualty drill.